Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Yo, what's up, Red?
What's good, what's Brother B?
Not much, man. It's kind of relaxed mode right now.
Good,
yeah,
I'm glad.
Yeah. Relaxed mode. How you doing?
You deserve that relaxed mode. Me too. I'm in a relaxed state of mind right now.
Yeah, you know. Thank the universe for that. What's going on, everybody? Oh, wait, hold on. Before I get into it, there's Lady T in the house. Lady T in the house. She don't eat chicken. Lady T in the house. What up?
I gotta be all that.
I'm just saying, you know, part of the resume. What up, everybody? What's going on? This is another episode of The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. Big Red, Brother D, and special guest. We're going to give you a special guest, even though you don't need to take a special guest. Lady T in the house from our, can we say sister or brother show? We say sister show on Blog Talk Radio, The Absolute Truth. You know, one of the members of the gang. What up, everybody? Hope everyone is well. I won't say tonight that I'm in rare form, but then again, I probably am, because I really have a couple of things to say. The past couple of weeks, we've kind of been keeping a little light, because got a little tired of politics, you know, and it's annoying what's going on nowadays. But before we get into that, once again, it is Big Red and Brother B with The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. We got Lady T in the house with us from the Absolute Truth Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Guest caller number 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. If I may grab the mic for a minute, ladies. You know, I remember when Obama was in office, and, you know, it was 8 years of something different.
Of integrity.
Yeah, very much. And, but the thing is, even with that integrity, people, there are certain types of people that had issues with a black face or a black person. Well, I'll just say, as wrong as they melanated, you know, individual being the face of America. And, we got Miss Cherry on. See, Miss Cherry always call in to just blow things. But, hey, what's up, Miss Cherry? How you doing?
So, hi, Miss Cherry.
Hi, everybody. Hey. That's the before I could even sign on. I'm trying to sneak in quietly.
Whatever. You know, but, you know, we had 8 years of what a lot of our elders and ancestors have only, you know, they dreamed of stuff like this. They fought and they died to see, you know, a black man, the face of basically a white country. Now, a lot of people other than black people, and, you know, I'm not talking with any hair on my tongue tonight, really, a lot of people, other than black people, whether you're white, whether you're white, Greek, or Spanish, a lot of people had an issue with this black man being the face of this white country. sadly, there were even some black people that had an issue with it too, but it's whatever. People also wanted to talk about how racism, you know, started kicking up. Listen, racism started when you came to this rock. Racism didn't start when Obama came into office. It just got a little more highlighted for this generation because people didn't like that black face running, you know, being the face of a white country. So, of course, there are people that may have, whether it be law enforcement or just people of Congress or just people in general who just felt the need to express their nasty views and attitudes, and, you know, in their own special and ignorant way. But it's all good. I said it's America, right? Free country, you're entitled. Moving forward, no integrity. The past almost 4 years have just been real distasteful, but scrumptious for some because they follow that hatred and bigoted mindset. But the thing that really gets me is how, as much as people want to talk about human or humanity, sincerity, empathy for animals or whatever, you get mad because an individual, we're not even going to say he's a cop, we'll just say he's an individual, put his knee on another person's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and the world basically burned and screamed, and people had a problem with that. Because there was light shed on something that needed to be seen that a lot of people didn't want to see. So then we have Breonna Taylor, which we will always say her name. May she rest in peace, as well as George Floyd. Another sad incident at the hand of people who hide behind the badge and the title of law enforcement. Because it's not the badge. It's the individuals. It's not the job. It's the individual. So let's make a clear separation with that. I find it interesting how people of non-color and also some people of color can actually sit there and try to make a case and say these police officers were just justified in doing what they did. But I'll just drop these two things. One of the officers lied to get the warrant. And from some reading I was doing, one of the officer that was shot, it wasn't even from the gun that her boyfriend had. But I'll let you make some illogical type of ignorant hypothesis from that. But, yeah, is it safe to say that we're becoming unhuman when we have this whole coronavirus thing and this tool in office disrespects everyone that has died, disrespects all the family members that have lost someone to this germ? But some people find it okay to the point where it's like, yeah, we need him for another 4 years. Why do we need such hate? Why do we need such bigotry? Why do we need such a child at the helm? I'm starting to really feel like maybe because there are more children, or this is just becoming one big daycare of a country. I mean, it's sad that it seems like every time I go outside, I just start to see people losing that humanity for one another. No patience, no courtesy. Everybody's just angry, mad, killing each other. I don't get it. And it's not like I'm really trying to get it. I'm just trying to go on with my life, but it's hard to not see the things that are going on. And if you can sit back and sleep well with this being okay, I mean, that's on you. But for some reason, I can't. Because this is something that my young cousin or my daughter said, this, we're passing the next gen, we're passing something that's not really good to the next generation. It's like we're giving them a grenade with the pin out. So once they take their hand off that lever, it's kaboom. I think we need to do better. I don't know what Joe Biden or Ms. Harris is going to, you know, bring to the table, but I hope they bring back integrity. I hope they start to bring some type of peace, even though we know as much as they will try, there will be those that will try to thwart them and throw every obstacle in their way, along with people protesting about a bogus election and just all in their feelings because they can't continue to spaz out and do the things that they want to do, like be violent, be hateful. So with tonight's topic, I really just wonder, will we be able to move forward, not only as a people, but as a species, after these really turbulent past 3 years and what, 10 months?
Mm-hmm.
Like, will we actually be able to go forward and maybe bring some type of cohesiveness? You know, I don't know. So whoever wants to take it, it's on you.
Well, I'll say, you're saying, well, basically, I think it depends on what goes on with this, with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I think that's where the, we may be able to get back to some type of decorum, humanity, maybe. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to say this, and, you know, I've discussed this with people where it's like, if Trump had won again, people were going to be angry. So as you can see, Biden won, and people were still angry. So it's just like, it's just the anger all the way around that people are just still mad, they're still angry, they're, you know, because of this, you know, because this person wanted to vote for this one, or you wanted to vote for that one. Now, I was saying to myself the other day, wasn't it like years ago that you had more than two people on the ballot for presidency? Isn't it supposed to be like more than just, you know, the current president and president that's supposed, you know, like, isn't it supposed to be like at least four people, five, you know? But I'm noticing within the last couple of years, few years, it's just been one or two. It hasn't been anybody else. And at this point, it's like it was no choice. I'm not going to say that. It was a choice, but it's just like you're supposed to have more. It was supposed to be just more than two choices. So to me, it seems like this stuff, everything to me has seems like it's some type of plan. People just say conspiracy theory and all. That's how it feels to me. It feels like it's been planned this way where you didn't have a choice, like you really didn't have a choice. So now, once again, depending on what's going to go on within the next year, I'll say within the next year, once, you know, Biden, you know, gets in, I think that's where it's going to, you know, you're going to see maybe a change, maybe. But then guess what? You're still going to have those Trump supporters. They're still going to be mad. They're still going to be angry. So they're still going to try to make, you know, some type of difficulty with this new administration getting ready to go in. So that's how I can see that something, you know, that's the only way that something may go back to, you know, somewhat of a normal, but then you know, we still have this coronavirus that we're still, I don't understand why we're still dealing with this. And, you know, this should be finished. We should have been finished with this, but now we're still dealing with this, and I don't understand why. So I don't know.
Lady T.
I'm going to just take it back a little further from when he actually won the presidency. I'll take it a little back further before that, when he puts on the MAGA hat. Why did we think that it was not going to be a show from the moment that he put on the MAGA hat and it said, "Make America Great Again"? I already knew what that meant. When it was slavery time, America felt they were at the greatest. So he puts on the hat, he wins the election that a lot of people didn't think he was going to win. Obama had patched up a lot of things that, you know, from the Bush administration and then from his term. So you come in with kind of a nice clean slate that you could start your presidency with. You know what I mean? And the first thing you want to do is overturn everything that Obama did into your name so you can sign off on that. I think he had no agenda when he was coming in. No experience, if you ask me, to take on this task that was before him. And a lot of Congress actually helped him through this, if you ask me, as far as Mitch McConnell and so forth. So it's like you're kind of like a little puppet on a string, and then you get in the hang of this. You're the first president that I've seen that goes on Twitter and wants to tweet and go back and forth with people like, "Hi, is there not work in the White House to be done?" Moving forward, now that he lost the election, he still did not concede. And does that not tell people even more about his character, even show why he lost? That's what it shows to me. You still can't concede. The numbers at this point, probability already plays a high point, and you still can't see. It's like the kid that's constantly crying and it's a fake cry to the mom, and the mom needs to ignore this kid. Just ignore the kid. The kid is going to stop crying at some point. They're going to fall asleep. Just ignore them. But people seem like they can't ignore him with this. They keep feeding in. I did not like when Obama went and spoke, you know, he should concede. It's not classy how he's acting. He wants you to respond. When will people stop feeding into him? Listen, he lost. I would have been like, listen, he lost. Ain't no more talking about Trump at this point. You understand what I'm saying? But we still constantly talk about him. So I'm hoping when this Biden administration comes in, they don't even talk about what he does. Just talk about what you guys are going to do. Forget about what he did. Let's try to erase that the same way he wanted to erase everything that Obama did. Just erase him. Do not talk about his mistakes. Do not talk about his wins. Do not talk about anything he did. Ignore him like number 45 never existed. And rebuild the country. It's almost to the point where we're not even concerned about our lives. We're more concerned about what they're going to be doing for our lives. So we also need to take responsibility. I'm tired of talking about Trump, to be honest with you. I really am. He's almost out of here. Let him be out. It's like, come on.
I feel you. Miss Cherry.
Okay.
I guess you just wanted to be quiet. Oh, okay. Please.
No, I was eating.
you bring enough? Did you share?
I don't think you want what I'm eating.
No, okay. We'll just leave that out of that.
I think when 45 ran in 2016, not only was he not prepared, I don't think that he believed he was going to win. And the reason is the way he ran his campaign, he was just saying crazy things. And it seemed like the more outrageous it was, the more they got behind him. You know, he admitted to grabbing women. He admitted to hitting on married women. He admitted to, you know, my little black Negro, whatever he called Kanye, my African-American friend. He was just saying things that were offensive to almost everybody that walked the planet of the Earth, and yet we all clapped. Well, not we, but majority clapped, and they got him in office. And I believe that the Republican Party believed that they could control him like a puppet on a string, but they underestimated his need for power, his need to be in the spotlight. So once he was able to grab the presidency, he then had his own agenda, and he was not taking, if they had anything that they wanted him to do, he would not take their suggestions. He was firing people right and left. The minute they said no, they were out of there, and they became afraid. They lost their voices because then they realized, I kind of need my job. We're just going to let him go on and go on. And so we see in the last 4 years, the country has just gone down. Make America great. We all know he wasn't talking about us. So I was trying to figure out, and I don't think he's ever answered, when was America great? He's never been really clear on that. Where we are now, I don't want to go back to the way we were. You know, with everything going on, as crazy as it is, it was not a good place for people of color. At least we're moving into a direction, a more positive direction for us. To go back to the way we were before, think about the changes that have happened since Black Lives Matter, since George Floyd, since Breonna Taylor, all of these things, Aubrey, all these things, they're setting the motion for us to possibly be moving into the direction of equality. And I think that as bad as what we're going through right now, we definitely don't want to go back to where we were when 45 came in. My second thing is, with 45's behavior right now, I think racism is not new. The 70 million people that voted for him were always around. He gave them a platform to feel comfortable to come out. But they were always there, and they were still doing what they were doing. We're just now more aware because we have the cameras. Remember the first time, what was it, with the Karen in Central Park? She was that type of person. She was that type of person. If that man's sister did not have that camera and tape her, he probably would have been thrown to the ground, arrested, and she stood there on the phone and started crying, saying that she was threatened, he threatened to hurt her dog and all that. The only thing that changed in that narrative was the fact that it was videotaped and it was released to the media. And I really believe his followers, which is mostly, you know, Republican, I'm going to assume, not people of color, their fear is that they're going to overcorrect the racism. It's going to go from being, you know, white people in control running the show to now all minorities in control. And they're afraid that we're going to do to them what they've been doing to us since we came here. I believe that's what the underlying fear is. You can see I was reading, I think, Joe Biden's new appointees, 40% of them are minorities. That has to be real fearful for them when they're used to maybe 1% being minorities. He's already stacking his house. He's already stacking his support team, and it doesn't look like them. He wants diversity, and they're not necessarily ready for diversity. They're ready to tell you, continue to tell you what you should do, and they don't want your input. So I think that's what a lot of the marching is. I think that's the 70 million. They're afraid. They're afraid that racism is going to be overcorrected, and when it's overcorrected, they're going to be treated the way that they've been treating people for generations and generations.
And, you know, I thank you, Red, thank you, Lady C, and thank you, Miss Cherry, because I agree with all of you. And it's sad, but it's called the White House for a reason. Not just because it's white, but called the White House for a reason. And there are people who have this attitude or this mentality that there's only supposed to be a certain type of people in it or a certain type of people running it, because no matter what we do, you know, whether it be black or Hispanic or whatever, people who are just, you know, not indigenous to this land, period, no matter what we do, we're not supposed to be a part of the inner workings. We're just supposed to be the laborers of everything. I also found it interesting, but really
just disgusting. And I have to just put it that way. Some of the people that we are around us, their thoughts, their views, like some, you know, I'm sure there's each one of us that probably had a conversation with somebody that we know that we just probably wish that we didn't have, because it's like, really? This is who you are? Like, I can't deal with you now. And it's all because of this guy. And I would have to say, I would have to call it a movement. Trump's whole thing, it's a mentality, it's a movement. Because these people are like, follow him like he's like the, like he's the Pied Piper of ignorance. And they follow him right, you know, over the cliff while he's laughing and still playing his pipe. Mm-hmm. There's a few people that, I mean, listen, me personally, I'm not going to take issue with you. Your opinion is your opinion. But not everybody feels the same way as me. And there's some people that really have taken things to heart. And they support this guy. And if you don't see it their way, they really just like want to disassociate themselves with you, or they consider you some type of, I don't know. Like they look at you funny because you're just not supporting or believing in what they believe in.
Well, that's on both sides. In all fairness, that's on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I know people who are not talking to people because they support Trump. And I have to tell them, listen, this is politics. If you have to be that sensitive, don't talk about it.
Absolutely.
Because you
exactly.
You got to realize they don't see it the way you see it. They're not going to see it, but you can't make them. The only thing you can do is get upset, and they feed into that energy.
But real quick, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not even trying to make them see anything. If we can't have a rational, see, that's the thing. Some of these conversations have gotten to an irrational level, and it's like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're fighting over, you know, you put your finger in my food. Like,
right.
or you coughed and didn't cover your mouth. Like, we're just talking about some people who make decisions. We pay their salaries. And we're basically beefing over who we think can do a better job. Like, it's not really conducive to our everyday thing.
Right.
Isn't the bottom line that we, as people of color, minorities, we feel that if you are for Trump, you're against us because he's against us. So you can't be my friend and say that you care about me when you're supporting somebody that's trying to hurt me. That's the way I see as a minority.
It's the thing of what you were saying. I'm gonna say this. I had a conversation like that a couple before the election with my dad, and I had told him about a friend of mine that I'm friends with on Facebook, and she supports Trump. She go hard and everything. So when I said, "Well, I'm sure she voted for him, of course, or going to." And he said, "Oh, she's sick. I said, "No." I said, "You can't say a person is sick because they can say that you're sick for voting for Biden. They can say the same thing about you. You understand what I'm saying?" So that's what I'm saying. That's kind of what y'all are saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like it's bringing me back to that conversation because it's like the person, because somebody can say, "Oh, well, you're sick for voting for Biden." That's what I'm saying. It's so much anger when you start talking about either one of them. It's like you get angry about the Biden or you get angry about Trump, but you can't say a person is sick. That's their right. My thing with the whole voting thing, this is your right. This is, everybody forgot that. This is your right. Whether you want to vote for Biden, Trump, whoever you voted for, it is your right to vote. And I think that's what everybody forgot because everybody is so into their feelings about Biden and Trump. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, for us as minorities, like I said, we look at it as if you vote for Trump, you're against us. But white people see it as if they support Trump, they're not going against you. They're supporting their interests. They like the way things are.
Exactly.
They have white privilege. They're not necessarily wanting to give that up. It's not that they're against black people. They just want to maintain what they have. So if you look at it like that, I don't get upset because I understand it's like someone coming in and saying, oh, you've always had that Mercedes-Benz. We want to take it away from you now and give it to somebody else. We're going to give you the Hyundai. You're not willing to give it up. That doesn't mean that you don't care the other person doesn't have a vehicle. You are just looking at it from your own interest. And I think that's where the breakdown happens.
True. Lady
and it's also, let's not forget that people have been voting, black people have been voting for the Republican Party for years. So this is nothing new. It's just Trump on the ticket. That's the only thing that's different. So it's no different than if you were to say, you know, like white people voted for Biden too. It's not all blacks that voted for Biden. So what's the difference? I think it's based on the party. People like certain party views versus the other party views. It is what
a
it
lot
is.
Of times
and like,
economic.
Yeah, of course.
It's economic.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
But all right, you know where I think the anger comes in? All right. I think it really boils with some people. It boils down to a certain mentality. Sometimes more than politics. Like, no one wants to have someone who shows a certain level of ignorance represent them. But then there are those that share the same mind state and they don't feel that, or share the same mentality and they don't feel it's ignorant. It's like what Ms. Cherry said earlier, it's their interest. So even though Trump may have, or other people that vote for him may have a common interest, there are other people who are looking at the things that he says, the things that he does, and the things that he condones as like ignorant and degrading. So we're supporting a person who says, oh, just grab him in the coochie. We're supporting a person who gets up in front of a bunch of people wearing these red hats saying, just kick the son of a bitch off the field, or just go knock this person out. Like, out of all the presidents, now, I mean, I'm not really big on the whole politics thing or presidents or whatever, but there's a certain level of professionalism and class that you should have, and this guy has none of it at all. So some people look at it as, what does that say about the people that follow him? Not just the interest part, but what does that say about the people who share that mentality with a person who says these awful things or does these awful things, even degrades women, and there are women that are like, yeah, that's my man, but he just said something degrading. I don't care. That's my man, and I'm voting for him. I'm like, wow. So you are entitled
to
your opinion. Everyone is.
To remind you also, he promised to keep the suburbs white and safe. So if you're living out here in the suburbs, I'm in Long Island, and I know what the atmosphere is in this area. I was in Smithtown the other day. They don't want you there. And their biggest fear, like I said, is the changes are going to be overcorrected. So now your kids will be able to live in their neighborhoods and go to their schools, and your kids might outperform them. They don't know.
But,
you know,
what was the difference when Obama was in office? It was still the white town. So what's the difference?
But he didn't promise to keep them white. You see, they right now with the Black Lives Matter.
He promised to build the wall. Where's the wall?
Who? Trump?
Trump promised to build the wall. Where's the wall? See, that's what I'm saying. He makes these promises and he doesn't keep them. So my whole thing is this,
but
if you're hanging on that promise, then that's your bad. That's your problem.
But from
if you're
from,
hung up on keeping your neighborhood white, that's on you.
But that's what they want. They're fearful of you moving into their neighborhood and you becoming part of their family, and your kids are sitting by their kids in the classroom and outperforming. And they don't want that. And to have someone come into your office and promise, look, they see him. As soon as you say no, he fires you. Oh, we don't like you? You're out of here. He fired somebody today. So they believe in the fact that he can deliver on his promises. And from their point of view, they don't want, well, is supposedly we're not segregated, but if everybody knows what's going on in New York, Long Island is very segregated. They don't want that to be given up. And he promised to protect that. He promised to allow the police to do what they want, to make sure they're not defunded. All the things that make them feel secure, all the things that make them feel superior, those are the things that he's promising to protect for them. And since they don't know, they don't have any other thing to compare it with, the only thing they can see is on TV. Remember how we used to look on TV? Crazy. Crazy crime. What were we known for? Crazy crime and crack. That's what black people were known for on TV. Why would you want that in your neighborhood, whether you're black, white, purple, or green? I don't want it in my neighborhood. So
we don't want school shooters. We don't want. We don't want school shooters in ours. So
But the difference,
you know what I'm saying? Like you,
is,
if you really want to throw stones,
the difference is they don't really integrate with us. Besides in the office place where it's forced, right? So if you're watching TV and every time you see a black person on, every time you see a white person on TV, they shooting each other. They're raping. They sound ignorant when you put a mic in front of their face. They can't even talk like a complete sentence. You see them getting arrested for robbing. Why would you want them in your neighborhood? Why would you even want to get to know them? You believe what you want to believe. And the narrative that was on TV makes black people look crazy.
But the narrative that they've been spinning since they stole this country, it's okay, though. It's okay that you...
But they know better.
Took, you robbed, you killed, you enslaved. But that was just in the... Oh, I forgot. It's in the name of progress.
They know better because they've created a narrative where it's not even. See, I always say, if you know that you're better than somebody... You don't have to cheat. You know, you don't have to pull tricks. If we're all on an even playing field, it's because I know I'm better than you. When I start doing things and creating a certain energy or making it impossible for you to have the same rights and things as me, it's because I'm afraid. I'm afraid you have a chance, despite what you went through. So I know that deep down they know better. Whether they can see it. If they interact, they see dedication between black people. They see, even though we don't have as much, we're still able to do. There's a form of jealousy that you see in music, in fashion, in style, in sports. We can't have anything that's not being mimicked and copied, you know, and they know. They know, and we know. But you have somebody coming into office that's promising, well, going out of office, that has promised them to protect their interests. And because they're afraid, and they, from their point of view, they want their interests protected.
All
so
right.
That's why we're here.
Lady T.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, what do you think? Do you think this guy is going to concede?
Do I think he's going to concede? He needs to. He has to. I mean, even if he doesn't and he doesn't give his speech or he doesn't say anything, it's over already. It doesn't matter what Biden's going to be in
it's
office.
All
like,
over.
He doesn't have to say anything. If he wants to continue to be the clown that he wants to be, He could do nothing and not even show up at the inauguration. If I were him and I was in his place and I wanted to act like a fool, I would just not show up and be the first president to never show up to something like that.
It's in
his character. He's got it in him. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to concede, give a speech, I lost, and nah. I don't see him doing
anything.
He's a
coward. He's too cowardly for that.
Well, you know what?
It's
not only just a coward thing, but see, he doesn't want to look bad to his supporters. He doesn't.
Well, if you know the traits of a narcissist,
he wants to remain defiant.
That's one thing. They're not going to lose.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you I lost. It's not going to happen.
He's going to remain defiant.
The thing is, he doesn't. I don't think he wants a second term. I think he's just trying to figure out how to save face. He knows he made a mess. He knows coronavirus is out of control. Right now he's on the brink of getting us to start war. He's pulling troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq today. He's firing everybody that has common sense. Yeah, the economy is messed up. You know, he's made a big mess, and he has to figure out how to leave without accepting responsibility and being accountable for it. I wanted to stay and clean it up, but they cheated and they kicked me out. And I was I would have kept the campaign promises from 2016 and made it better for 2020. He's just working out an exit strategy that doesn't make him look like he failed the Republican Party. He doesn't want the job. He can't want it.
One thing I hope that Congress does take from this election, though, is the fact that they need to up their qualifications on presidential candidates, because this was crazy how he got in. They need to make some requirements after this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
absolutely. And I was going to say you were. Think Big Red mentioned that there were only two main candidates that were running. I think there were more. You always have the option to write in somebody. You could write in Mickey Mouse. But the thing is, a lot of the other ones, I think before they used to have Green Party and some other parties running. These other people didn't have any money to campaign. Even though we knew Kanye West was running, he didn't have enough money to campaign up against the big name brand. So it's kind of like when you're marketing.
Right, I understand, but that's a problem, though. That seems like a problem to me, because, like I said, I remember, not to cut you off, but I remember, like I said, years ago, you had more people on, you know, on the ballot. Now it's just down, like, to two people, because I guess they had the money to you know, keep themselves on it, but it's just like, that's a problem to me.
So you mean the Kardashians couldn't back Kanye up? They couldn't back him up?
Absolutely. I mean, if that was the case, they should have.
I don't think they wanted somebody
else.
Yeah, I don't think they really wanted somebody else. I think they wanted them to go toe-to-toe, Biden and Trump.
Yep.
I don't think they wanted somebody else, because he could have found resources.
Kanye was only there to split the vote anyway. He was not a real candidate. I don't think anybody took him seriously. He was there to take away votes from Biden. And Donald Trump was willing to let him go and run, because it was just a matter of trying to distract votes from the Democratic Party. Not that anybody took him seriously. We all felt he needed to be in the hospital more than on the stage.
True that. I mean,
embarrassing us.
I've heard
people letting him call him his little African American Negro or whatever he is.
Well, I mean,
unbelievable.
He might as well just take calls him his monkey and pet him.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You know, I mean, it goes to show you his real worth. Like, despite all the money and despite all the things that he's done, it goes to show you his true worth and how he feels about himself to actually let someone, you know, treat him. Talk to him like that. But I will say, I've heard people, you know, in discussion, I've heard people express how they have this fear that Obama is going to be back in office because of Joe Biden. And
Peace.
Hey, what's up, Ron? Peace.
What's up, Ron?
He's going to be, you know, Obama's going to be back in office. And there's also this fear of, like, if anything happens to, you know, Biden, then, you know, we have a black woman at the helm. It just goes back to what, you know, Ms. Cherry was saying, Lady T, you know, as well as Red, that there's this fear of, this blackness and the reciprocity that may come behind it, like, oh, well, you know, now it's our turn to whip y'all asses. Now it's our turn to do X, Y, and Z. And, I mean, I think over the years, the centuries, we have really proven that we're not that type of people. But if you want to keep thinking that, go ahead, because I really don't think it should boil down to just the white and black thing. But when someone tells me it's not about color, there's certain things that I see where it is about color, because if it wasn't, then I wouldn't hear the things that are being said. You know, some of the thoughts that are out there. Huh?
I think we should do what they do does. I think the hell with the fear, do it. Do it. That's
do
the problem.
It.
They need to be made an example of.
Well, that's the extreme thing. Don't get Ron started, Red. Please don't get Ron started. Don't get the brother started. Do it. So let me ask you, Ron. What do you think, going forward? oh Lord, here we go. Be nice.
I can hear him starting off the melanated people.
I know.
Go ahead.
Going forward. Going forward.
What do you think? What do you look to for toward the horizon with this new administration coming in, and the sentiments of the people that really are not feeling it? Like, what do you think? You think things are going to change? You know, you think we're going to do the kumbaya thing?
Brother, ain't nothing changing. I was at the voting poll with my mom. You did. And the third day going, because she left the first and second day because she didn't want to wait online. There was a dude, it was an old dude that ain't voted since Obama. And he was like, he came out of the voting booth. He said, I don't feel no different. So all that to say, it was like, there's nothing changed for us, brother. You know, there's nothing changed for us. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we got one dude out of office, and look how he going. Look how they treat each other. So they treat each other like this. What makes you think they're going to change up in the fifth inning? In the fifth inning. It ain't happening. You know what I mean? This shit ain't changed in 100 years. It's gotten worse in 100 years. We don't practice group economics. We don't control our family, our children, and our women don't respect us. We are third-class citizens in the world. Bruh, we got our own shit to do. And that's why I was like, we worried about the government, worried about politics. We the only ones doing it. You know what I mean? We got Indians and Jews and Asians. They worried about their money. They worried about their family. They worried about their product. They worried about their land. We worried about the wrong shit.
Straight up. Okay, so with that, so with that being said, what you're saying is you don't really see any change in our attitude as a people going forward. I mean, and that's just from a black perspective, but if
because
we talk
dependent.
About it as a whole, human,
they're dependent.
Huh?
Well, they're dependent. You saw what COVID did. What COVID did was made motherfuckers who thought they had something realize they ain't got shit at all. You get what I'm saying? All work for the government, get a good job. You know, motherfuckers is like, niggas can't travel, niggas can't move, you trapped in your house. They're telling us what to do. They're exercising control. And they're extermination of black people all in the same time, baby. This is all planned out. This ain't, and notice, where's God? God is nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm like, the president who asked where God is, there you go. You know what I mean? It's just like, this is planned by them, and we allowed it. It's our fault, brother. You know what I mean? And it's like, whatever you're going to do, I'll support you. But it's like, yo, we're worrying about the wrong shit. That voting shit don't mean nothing. Them dollars don't mean nothing because they're about to take that off the market. They're about to give everybody credit cards and say, this is how you're going to do business. This is how you're going to eat. They're telling you. They're telling us where to go, how to dress, what to eat, how to fuck your woman, how to beat your kids, how to raise your...
Nice.
You know what I mean? You dig what I'm saying? I'm telling you.
No, actually, we don't.
I'm telling you.
Miss Cherry, just stop it. I apologize. Stop it.
But you get the gist of it. You know what I mean? It's just like,
even they're going to tell you how to take the vaccine.
Yeah, that's
and they're supposed to be putting that in place where we have to take that?
Yeah, it's going to happen within 2 years. They're going to mandate it within 2 years.
I see
you know
some
what I mean?
Changes.
Well,
like even this week, right, it's Black Restaurant Week, where they're trying to filter money into small businesses for Black people, especially in the restaurant end.
Mama, that's if
isn't that keeping money in the Black community?
If I give you a chicken leg, and you need the whole chicken to survive, right? If I give you a chicken leg, what are you going to do with that chicken leg? Can you feed your family with a chicken leg? No.
If I'm starving,
you got eight kids.
A chicken leg is a start.
Yeah.
What I'm
going to
just throw it back?
That's just for you. That's just for you.
I think
well,
that's
what you're talking about. My thing is going forward for everyone. Like forget the color aspect right now. We're going forward for everyone.
No.
We know
no.
these past.
Hold on. No.
Listen, wait a minute. Listen, I'm sure that between us, whether like I said, this certain things just cross the color spectrum. And the whole thing is everything that's been going on for the past almost 4 years or 3 years has changed. It's about color, but then again, it's not. Because once again, we have to get back to a point where we, even though you said it's control, we have to start putting ourselves in back in the position of taking control. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Of our lives and what's going on around us. Because if we continue to let others dictate by their own opinion, then we're, as individuals, we're doing. Because that's what it seems like. It's an attack on. Because it's a mentality over here versus a mentality on this side. And that's what it sometimes it just really looks like.
No, watch
it's like
this.
One
watch
group
this.
Is just saying is just very pro ignorance, pro this is what we want, this is what we need to get and keep it this way, and that's that. Once again, it's the Make America Great Again versus the Black Lives Matter versus, you know, this versus that versus everything else. There's once again, it's like, yo, I've never, in all my years of being on this planet, as far as I've seen, I've never really witnessed just such chaos. I'm sure it's happened before me. I'm sure. But just in our generation, right now, like the shit that we're seeing,
It's just that it happened in other countries. You never thought that it could happen here. You know what I mean? But this is all designed by them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
These motherfuckers are talking about a reset. A reset, that means they've always had their hand on the control button, brother. Who's the sister talking about the chicken? Who's the sister?
Sherry. So, Ron, let me ask you a question.
You
have a certain point of view of how life is going, right? So in mm-hmm. your perfect world, Ron, because we all live in here, we're minorities, we're living amongst white people, how would this get resolved?
There's so
realistically, Ron. We can't drown them in the water and take over the land.
No, it's not. You said it, I didn't. Listen, let that be on the record. Now, it goes like this. You have to make the real sacrifice is already knowing you don't have shit. If a motherfucker gives you $80,000 a year, plus you got a small business.
Stop cussing.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
I can't.
Listen, don't take it like that. Give you $80,000 a year. Plus they give you money for your business. Everything that they give you, you know, the government has to research that back. They gotta recoup that back. Anything that they gave out, that means they charge you tax on what they gave you.
Okay,
and
so
you gotta
Ryan,
pay.
This
and
is my
listen,
question.
Hold on.
You're explaining what the problem is. I'm asking you
yeah.
how do you resolve it. You
the
know
sacrifice.
What
the sacrifice is not taking the money when they kill your child. The sacrifice is policing your own community, starting businesses in your own community, cleaning up your own community,
okay,
moving
Ron,
as one, moving
listen,
as one. People.
Listen to my question. We all know what the problem is. How do you resolve it? If you don't have any money, how do you start a business in your community? You don't have any resources to start it. So I want to know, from your point of view, if you take money from the white man, you're selling your man, your people out. How do you start these things if
you
don't have the
money? You take that money. You take half of what you get. If you got $80,000 and you're working for the man, $80,000, you take $30,000 to $40,000. Take that and start
your
business.
You're still working for the man?
Listen to what I'm saying. Start your business. Work your business so you don't need the man no more.
Most people don't make $80,000 a year working for the man. So what would you do?
Do we need to do like a separate economic show with Ron and Cherry? Ron and Cherry Economics?
it'll work. Especially with black women. Black women are known for selling everything, and other women will buy from other black women, and the men follow where the market is. If you create a market, if you create a product or a service that our community needs, you will be supported. You know what I mean? And it'll be infectious in other communities. I've seen
okay,
it.
No, I understand.
Hold on. Because what I don't want to do is get stuck on a certain portion that's kind of driving in the opposite direction of because I mean, it's not to say what you guys are saying is not important. It is.
You don't want to hear
us
argue. Go on, move on.
No, you know what? Once again,
Jerry,
on the Sunday when we do the Sunday show. When we do the Sunday show, it's dealing with our issues. But right now, we're dealing with it's not a color thing. And
it's not. We're not talking. We're not.
Hold on, Byron.
We're not a color. You dig what I'm saying? We are a nationality, a race, a group of people, melanated people of African origin. Every time we talk, it should be about us and nobody else. Trust me. I've been.
Ryan, you
got to
save it for the Sunday show.
But I've done bodyguard work for cats who are Chinese, who are Japanese, whatever, and they go to their meetings and they're talking about just their shit, and they'll have multiple meetings during the week. You know, that's their thing.
But the thing is this: like I said, the Sunday one that we do twice a month, that we try to do twice a month, that's on us. This one, you know, because I'm sure most of my listeners are not melanated people. I got listeners and people overseas that listen, and some of the things that we say or view, they can't relate because it's not about them. So I can't be biased. If it's the menu, it's everything. It's got to be everything. It can't be one sided. You know what I'm saying? But no, listen. You know your opinions are always appreciated.
You know.
So I don't want you to be like, oh,
you know, I don't want you to revoke my brother card. In other words,
no,
you know what I'm saying?
How can I do that? And this is
I'll
your
show.
I'll
translate it for you.
This is your show, bro. I'm just a guest, bro.
And don't
I'm
be sensitive. We need to move back onto the topic at
this
hand.
I'm translating for you. This is not the time nor the place.
Don't be sensitive. We need to move back to the topic at hand. We'll talk about that on Sunday. No, we need to talk about it every day. Y'all, man, we're gonna do a spinoff. Jerry, call me. We gotta do a spinoff.
We have to do a spinoff because that's gonna be fire. But like I said, call forward. Once again. 20, you know, a lot of people said, yo, I can't wait for 2020 to be over. This is that and the third, blah, blah, blah. What do we really think is going to be different from then, you know, from then to now? We don't know. 2021 could be, you know, I guess some would say worse. Some would say better. Some will just be relieved that we're no longer in the year 2020. But I for all the loss that we have suffered and things that we have gone through this year, you have to look at a lot of the positives. And the positives is the things that you were able to see that we didn't see before then. The wall that was pulled, you know, from the front of our eyes, the people that we thought were solid and actually weren't. You know, a lot of things just had people just had to confront, and they didn't want to confront it. And I think that's what where a lot of the anger and hostility is coming from, because a lot of people are not wanting to confront a certain truth. They're only stuck in their truth, but they don't want to confront the real truth that's out here. I mean, hey, I remember one time on a Sunday show. I had two black people call in that wanted to call me, you know, wanted to doubt my blackness. But it is what it is. Everybody's entitled to a thing.
Wait a minute, you
not
black?
Not everybody's going to do it. Huh? I would like to think so. I would like to think so. You know, I would like to think so. But, you know, it's just been very interesting to see how some of us that are the same differ on when it comes down to certain things. And it's definitely been a divide. It's definitely been a divide. I think a lot of people, once again, going back to the George Floyd, the Breonna Taylors, and, you know, the Arbery, I can't fully say his name, I'm so sorry.
Arbery.
Who have lost their lives due to unnecessary violence. We'll just put it like that. Or needless violence, you know, by certain individuals. We're very divided. Like, I mean, it's not like we've been very, you know, together, but even more so. Because once again, it's in your face. And then other people, other countries are seeing it. They're seeing the leadership in their last. I think there's people that are following the leader in their lap. And, you know, they're just waiting, you know, for the show to be over. Like I said earlier, I hope that there's some type of dignity, some type of integrity and professionalism that will be brought back, you know, to the office. Yeah, Ron. Uh-oh. We know.
Let me tell you something. I stopped believing in government during the Ronald Reagan era. Well, I saw how this, once they found out, like, the thing with Oliver North and the drugs and the guns, CIA and all that. I stopped believing in government at Reagan? I was a kid.
Listen.
And I stopped at Reagan.
I could go back further. I don't think I was even born. What's his name? Nixon.
Yeah. Tricky Dick.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I wasn't even born when that was going on.
Yeah, I don't believe all of this.
Who was it that made peanut butter more expensive than steak?
Jimmy Carter. You got Ford Carter. You got Nixon, Ford Carter, Reagan.
So
Reagan, Bush.
And Jimmy Carter was supposed to be the good part.
It was not. Reagan. Reagan was 2 terms.
No. Carter.
Oh yeah, Carter was.
Carter was the one term.
He was the Clinton. He was the Clinton coming. The first coming of Clinton. and he was a fucking Libra. And he was a Libra. Terrible guy.
All right, so let me ask you, out of all the ones that we disagree with or we don't really rock with, do you think Trump tops this list?
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is,
I think so.
This is all scripted though, man. You know, this is all scripted.
I think he came in third. Sorry.
They all wrote this.
Who's your first?
My first would be Reagan, then Bush, and then Trump. Trump played it.
Which Bush?
Oh, the first Bush that started the war. The first Bush. The first Bush. Come on, we had other stuff, real life stuff going on with those two presidents. I mean, we don't get me wrong. We had real life stuff going on with Trump as far as COVID, but that's about it. What else can you call in him putting the kids in cages? What else can you call for him?
So let me,
as far as real life stuff, I'm not talking about his other nonsense in between. But come on.
Okay, so now there's this rumor that Biden made the statement of a possible 6-week, shutdown, when he gets into office. Any thoughts on
that?
He told you
it's going to be messed up before he coming in. Even Obama told you that. Obama told, they always tell you the craziness before it happens.
Bush told you.
Okay.
We're gonna have another shutdown. Why do we think that it was just gonna be a free for all during the summer and come flu season? We wouldn't be doing another shutdown. We don't think for ourselves anymore. We let media think for us. These presidents think for us. It's like common ass sense. What was gonna happen again? We was gonna go in another shutdown.
Yeah, but why? But my thing is, why are we having another shutdown for what?
Why not? Because they think that it's flu
control.
Season.
It's
COVID.
Control
the economy. Also,
control
the
population.
And
look,
the shutdown is during the holiday time. Like, come on, give me a break with this.
They're controlling.
We
should have
shut it down the whole summer.
They control it. They control everything else. They're controlling the population.
Hold on.
They're killing 10,000 people every week.
All right, but check this out. If this country were to follow suit, like every other, because why does it seem like it's only this country where the numbers are spiraling out of control?
That's what I'm saying.
Hold on.
Because we didn't do the first time what is possibly going to be done now. It should have been a shutdown before to contain it. I mean, come on. Let's not make it
about economics? They didn't shut down in the summer. They felt like they could make money. People were still dying from this during the summer. The restaurants needed to make back their money. The salons needed their money. Come on.
Meanwhile, don't forget
the grocery stores are all open. Their groceries are open year round. They're not thinking like that because it's more economics than your health.
It's not economics. It's population.
Then what is it?
Killing off people.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not economic. Population control.
But hold on. Even still with that, the whole thing, it's still on both ends, whether it's economics or population control, it could have been handled a totally different way.
Not in America, though. But why would you want population control? That sounds like some like that you know, that shit that, you know, just some crazy shit. What is up with that population control thing?
Population
control for who?
Well,
for us or population control for everybody else?
Yes, the rumor is population control for black people.
It's for us because they want Africa for natural resources, and they feel along with the Chinese.
To Africa.
I don't know about
Chinese,
all that, but
listen to what I'm saying. It's not a Let me tell you something. I'm not speaking here myself. Speak. I've been doing the knowledge since '86 straight. You know what I mean? The stuff that's been happening in the last 20 years, I've been on top of it. You dig what I'm saying? So now is the manifestation of what they're talking about for the last 50 years. You dig what I'm saying? They want population control for natural resources.
But that wasn't the question.
What it
See,
is.
It's not. We're not doubting. We're not doubting anything that you're saying.
And you're trying to find a nice way of how they should have did it. They're doing it the way they want to do it.
Nah, listen. You know what the thing is. You know the thing is, brother. It's not even a thing about finding a nice way, because you know, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter what we discuss, the train is going to keep on going. It's not going to stop. So all we can do is sit. We can pass around ideas. We can kick it, you know. We can maybe come up with some solutions to help ourselves, and maybe help.
That's
our
what
business.
It's about.
But in the grand,
everybody
goal,
else helping
grand scheme of things,
in
the grand scheme of things, the train is not going to stop. Whatever's going to be is going to be. The thing is, are we going to make the necessary changes to repair the damages that have been done over these past years, in terms of in terms of our just who we are and being humane to one another, just treating each other like trash. And discard each other's feelings, discard each other's, you know, physically, spiritually, whatever. Like, is this going to be the new norm?
Have I treated you like trash?
Yeah, it is the new norm. Unfortunately, Brother B, it is. It is. To me, it is. I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna go back to the way it was, because I don't think I'm gonna say this within the last. I'm gonna say within the last 20, 25 years. It's been a plane crash that you just watching is just a slow one. Because people haven't been humane to each other within the last 20, 25 years to me. So at this point, it's gotten to a head where that volcano erupted, and guess what? There's lava all over the place. And you know lava, once it gets cool, it's that thing.
Lady T, I have to ask you in the educational system. What do you see? How do you see this whole virtual school thing? Like, do you see it as is it going to help or is it going to hurt our children going forward?
I can't even speak on that for you. In all honesty, being in the system right now, and they didn't make a decision on it. But my whole thing, I said, I've been telling you guys, the parents had choices this year to keep their kids at home or send them to school. So that was the parents' decision. Because as you can see right now, what's happening is they're waiting. It's at 2.7% or something like that, and they have to wait till 3% to say, oh, we're shutting down the schools. 2.7% and 3% is almost the same. And, you know, you parents that checked off, yeah, I'm going to send my kids to school, should have been prepared for something like this.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to say on that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Ms. Sherry?
As far as the schooling system or just overall?
Overall.
So,
You're in corporate America. Hit me with the corporate America aspect of it.
I would tell you on Friday, I had a conversation. We had a meeting, sat down with the VP and some other, you know, top key figures within the company. And we were all sitting there, and they started talking about COVID. And obviously, grew up in America, most people don't look like me. I probably was 2 out of like 15 people in the room that were minorities, and they began to say how foolish they thought it was with all the restrictions, you know. And I get it. Closing at 10 o'clock, they were saying, well, can't you catch Corona at 8 o'clock at night? You know, you want to shut down everything at 10, what difference does it make? And they were going back and forth, and it was building and building. And then I just said, maybe it's because in my community, I know 9 people that have passed since March. So I think that if you haven't lost anybody, you're not empathetic. You, to you, it's just somebody saying that people are dying, and you don't see it. When Corona was first came out, remember, they said that black people were dying at, I don't know what rate, but it was hitting white people at 1.4%. So when they looked at the numbers, their risk was so low, they didn't care. That's why they're not wearing the mask. They're being told their risk of dying or getting physically ill and very sick is very small compared to every other population in the community. So to sit there and listen to them going back and forth, I just said to them, you know what, I've been to 3 funerals since March. And I said, and I know 9 people. And for me, it's real. I hope that you guys never get to be in the position that I'm in. And everybody went quiet. They just can't relate because it's not happening to them. And the reason why it's being handled this way is because it's not happening to them. If that number spikes, and it spikes in the non-minority community, you're going to see a lot of changes come real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ron?
I believe that.
Brother?
Yeah, no, I understand what I have to say.
I'm gonna hold
really,
Ron.
But nah, you know what? Listen, I have to say that, you know, I appreciate, always have and always will appreciate everyone's you know, opinions, you know, point of views, you know, no matter how strong they are or weak they are. You know, once again, this is what it's about. It's about the communication, because a lot of people are busy, you know, talking at each other but not talking to each other. And I appreciate this forum here where we're actually talking to one another. You know, knowledge is being exchanged. You know, I feel that there's some points there where I'm feeling enlightened about certain things that, you know, are being said that I didn't know about. And, you know, I appreciate it. You know, and I just like the human feel of it. That's why I enjoy doing this podcast. I enjoy talking to, you know, you guys and listening to everything that you have to say, because it keeps people like me grounded. It lets me know, like, there's still a lot of good souls out there, a lot of good people that are connected and want to remain good and do the right thing. Despite everything else that's going on around us, there's some positive. And there's some people out there that may not see the positive in the negative. I mean, that may sound crazy to some, but it's all in your perception. And see, that's one thing when it comes down to our discussion. It's about perception. Somebody can take what Ron says and see it one way. Somebody can take what Ms. Cherry says and see it totally different. Or they can all see it the same way. But once again, it's all about the perception. And, you know, once again, I appreciate the fact that everybody offers theirs, because there's a lot of work for us to do. You know, whether it is. And that's as a species. Not just color, Ron. I'm just messing with you. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. It's,
saying,
it's funny. It's funny, but I'm not laughing. But
I know like, you're not, brother.
We the only one. We the only ones that, you know, consider everybody else, but nobody considers us. You know what I mean? We got to get out of that mentality.
If you want to play the game,
you got to think like them. You know what I mean? And the whole thing is covering your ass, taking care of your own people.
Yeah, you know what?
You're all that matters.
And you know
You're
what?
All that matters.
But hold on, brother. If I have to say, if I have to step into a Sunday moment for a minute, no. It's not think like them, because that's not our nature. If you look at the history, it's not our nature. And for us to assume that type of mentality, it's totally wrong. It's totally wrong because it's not true to self. It's not true to your being and who you are.
That only works when you're dealing with us. When you're dealing with your enemy, you got to put that out
sometimes
the window.
Sometimes
No, yeah, that's different. We know them. We know how to deal with our own. But when we face this man every week, every day, it's like, yo, you cannot treat your enemy as though you would treat your brother. You know, because if your enemy is your brother, then you know how to act accordingly. But if your enemy,
brother, listen, they're brothers and sisters that stab me in the back on the regular. So who do I?
Yeah, we know how to deal with that. I know how to deal with that. But
can
you
I,
also,
you know,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to break in and say, just piggybacking off of what Byron said, you know, I think it is important to have an open discussion. And although I agree with, like, 90% of everybody else on the panel a lot of the times but Ron, I do appreciate that you're open and you do come with a different perspective. Because it does have me. There are some things that you say I agree with. I may not agree with your delivery of it. I do listen. I do weigh what you say. I don't know if it would change my life, but I think it's important that, you know, you do get different ends and different perspectives, because that's where you actually learn and gain your knowledge. Everything is not. Even though we're all black, we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different stories. And my story is different from yours, but it doesn't make it any less real. So I just wanted to say, I do appreciate you coming out and giving your perspective, even though I don't agree with it a lot of times.
I'm telling you, we gotta work on the spinoff. We got Ron, Ron and Cherry. Cherry Ron.
Cherry Ron.
Cherry Ron. You know,
sound like an ice cream flavor.
Yeah, I know, right? But my outlook for 2021 and beyond, I'm going to keep it positive. And, you know, I'm really looking for some fences to be mended. But at the same time, I really hope that there are certain people that will choose to stay in their yard instead of throwing trash in someone else's. It's way too divided. Once again, not like it's always been together, but right now it's just a lot. And I think at this point everybody kind of needs to take a breather, you know, from everything. You know, it's been a lot of protests, a lot of, you know, things going on, and it's nothing really different from what has happened in the past. It's just our time.
Yep.
And a lot of people just don't want to face the facts that, yes, this is what it is. Like, this is America. And if this is what the idea of making America great again is, I mean, this is what it is. You know? It's more than just us being in chains. It's a lot. It's the violence. It's the chaos. It's the uncertainty. Ron, come on, Ron. What's wrong with you? But you know, I really hope that like I said, going forward, man, I said a lot of discussions with a lot of people, a lot of anger, a lot of just like, I don't talk to this person no more, I don't talk to that person no more. It's like, I guess we were never really friends from the get go.
if we can't talk rationally, you know, and come to some type of common ground, then, hey, I guess for 2020, that vision, I saw what I needed to see, and I see that you're someone that I don't need to have in my life, have in my space, someone I just don't need to conduct anything with. So it is what it is at this point. But
yep.
I want to thank Ms. Cherry.
Is that more maturity, though?
Huh?
Why be so
maturity?
Hard? That's what we were saying. I'm sorry, what?
No, what were you saying about maturity?
I was gonna say that approach is kind of hard nosed. Like if you don't agree and see things the way that I see it, we can't be friends. And that's a maturity.
Well,
that's what children do.
Well, check this out.
There's nothing. The only thing that's changed from childhood to adulthood is pubic hairs and responsibility. That's it.
Oh Lord. Look, there you go again. But I will say this. Miss Cherry, there's a child in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So the nursery has been set for the past.
But who do you want to be like?
Years. Well, listen.
Do you
want to
be a man, or
like
do you
want
to follow after the child?
It wasn't my choice. There are people who made their own decisions to cut ties with me because, or be disrespectful to me because I didn't want to believe they were saying in the person that they're supporting. I didn't want to believe the fact that, you know, oh, Trump is doing a better job than Obama.
Oh,
in the grand scheme of things, In the grand scheme of things, to a degree, I really don't care. Because if that's your truth, fine. You believe it, but don't try to force that pill down my throat. And if I don't want to take it, you can't get mad at me, but this is what's been going on. So, yeah, I've been severing
a lot
of ties here and there, you know, just because they can't deal with the fact that I don't want to believe what they want me to believe. And once again, this is what breeds anger with a lot of people because they're trying to force their belief on me or you.
On you.
Mm-hmm. And they don't like the fact that you're saying no.
That sounds like religion. That's just like what Christians trying to force, you know, their beliefs on people that may not, that are non-Christians. Or
well,
you study
listen,
Muslim,
Red,
you know, Islam or anything like that.
Red, there's a lot of Christians that was shooting people. There's a lot of Christians that's been doing all types of stuff. So we're not going to, you know, we're not going to single out any one religion. But the whole thing is, if the message with religion or God is love, then why are you doing what you're doing to your fellow human?
Because they don't see God the way we see God. That's all that is.
And you know what? I agree. Well, go ahead, Ms. Cherry. I agree, Ron.
I had a conversation with a family member, which is going through the same thing. She goes into the office. She has a lot of Trump supporters. And she gets so angry, you know, that she's cutting friends right and left. And I said to her, I said, you know what? You're in an office setting. Don't talk politics. Talk something else.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
You like them for something else. Maybe y'all can talk about shoes. You don't have to cut the friendship because you don't agree with them politically. And if they keep bringing up a subject you don't like, say, listen, you already know how I feel. I don't want to discuss it. Let's just agree not to discuss it and move on. If they don't respect that of you, if they don't respect that of you, then you can't have a conversation with them. But just to cut the conversation because you don't see eye to eye on a subject, there's so many other things that people have to offer. You know, you just make it clear where you stand on that subject. You're not going to discuss it. If they don't respect you saying you don't want to discuss it, then we have to kind of look at the friendship a little bit different because you're not respecting my wishes. And that's something different.
Well, some people keep it subjective rather than objective. But on that note, Ms. Cherry, Lady T, Brother Ron, Big Red, it has been a pleasure.
Yeah.
I thank you.
Thank you.
And I wish you all well. Have a great rest of your week. And Lady T, you still there? You fell asleep?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
She's doing stuff.
She's playing Minecraft or something.
Minecraft.
She's
doing stuff.
Y'all take care. Have a good night.
Good night, guys. Be safe.
Peace.
Yeah, peace out, guys.